And now, I'm going to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Butter and ketchup. She's good.
I'm adding it like full time. This is Old School at the Movies, episode 100.5, for sometime in December. I can't count. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like All Wine Aside, Trending Mobile Technology, and Tunes. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School, and before I get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. Let's see if I can do this properly this time. Oldschoolmovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. Oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com. Or you can tweet me at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies, D-O-T-net. Hashtag OSATM. Let's get into the panel for this week. We have C-Money.
What's up, man?
We've got Carp.
Howdy ho!
The only podcaster to get booed when introduced.
I booed Kevbo, didn't I?
And we've also got, from the peanut gallery, Charlie.
Hello!
Let's get into... Well, hello to you, too. Let's get into our top fives for this year. We'll start with Carl.
Top five. Well, I'm going to do some honorable mentions just to start everything off.
Are you speaking English there?
No, I'm sorry. Can you start over, please?
I'm going to do some honorable mentions to start things off. I've got four in there. It's Fury. Great World War II movie. I was very impressed. 22 Jump Street. They knew they were, like, jokingly make a sequel, so that's what it was. Big Hero 6, I was very impressed with. And Return to Nukem High from Troma Films.
I want to see Big Hero 6, but I have to find a young person to go so I don't look like a pedo bear.
I'm young.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, you look young. You want to go?
Yeah. Okay, let's
go. So now...
Actually, no, that sounds bad.
You want to go?
Hey, you look like a child. Want to get together?
My black van is parked.
So, black teardrop van with candy inside. Let's go.
You sound like you've done this before. Let's move along.
My top five. Number five, worldwide premiere at Fantasia, Zombievers. This movie was so, so great.
Really?
Being part of the environment at Fantasia, yes, really.
Zombievers. Top five, number five. The entire scope of movies.
Yes,
Zombievers. Number five.
It's
what
you had to be there at Fantasia with just the crowd. The Zombievers themselves were great, super well done. This is the type of cheesy horror comedy.
Wait, Henson's Creature Shop.
I just heard this.
Zombievers who are zombies.
Zombie beavers.
Yes.
If you love comedy horror in any way, you got to see this film. It was so good. Especially with the crowd that we were with.
Were they
it's
five
definitely
years old?
It's Fantasia. It's
okay,
all
question for you.
It's all
you
the horror hands.
You saw this by yourself, would you rate it as
if I saw this by myself alone, it would still be pretty high up because
would be a top five.
It would be in the top 10 for sure though for me. Okay. Because it's comedic horror with, you know, ridiculous over the top things that happen. I don't want to say anything for anybody who might want to see
don't
it
worry.
Who listens to
nobody
this.
Wants to see it on this
but people actually become zombie beavers by getting bit by the zombie beavers.
Hold on.
Yes. They grow tails and they grow like the buck teeth that beavers have.
Wow. So this is never coming to theaters, basically.
Oh, it did. It had a...
It made a whopping $319 at the box office. And half of it was carp.
It's always a limited release, but around the...
you don't say.
Around the horror conventions, it's sold out every time, so... They're obviously making... They're going to make their money back.
It's a hand over fist. Yeah, well, it only cost $100 to make, so they've already doubled it.
It costs, like, maybe $10,000 to make. I'm sure the actors on it worked for scale as well, so...
they worked for fucking...
Still,
to eat.
It's a great, it's a great movie. Anybody who enjoys a cheesy horror comedy with zombies, you definitely got to check this out.
Zombie beavers.
Number four, I actually have a tie. It's Wick and The Equalizer. Both have their merits, but they're both kind of the same film at some points. Like, it's still, like, the action movies that came out this year that they belong in my top five, but they can't, like, have one above the other. I know you truly enjoyed Equalizer as well.
Yeah.
And John Wick, I believe Will saw it, and he enjoyed it.
I did it.
So,
last week?
It's definitely in the top, you know, tied for number four.
You had to pick one of the two, though.
John Wick, because of all the headshots.
Okay.
Pick the one with Chloe.
Chloe Moretz plays the hooker?
Yeah.
That's going in.
I don't know. John. John Wick is a revenge film because they killed the puppy from his dying wife.
Like, so he kills 800 people.
He kills like 85 Russians because
one dog died.
They stole his dog. They killed his dog and they stole his car that his dying wife gave him.
I have a question.
Was not the cutest dog you've ever seen.
It was. They put the cutest puppy on film ever, and then they offed the poor little. And you don't fucking kill a dog. You don't kill a puppy. You punch a cat in the face, fine, but you don't kill a puppy.
I have a question. I completely agree with that statement. You don't kill a puppy. However, did he kill anybody when his wife died?
No, his wife died of cancer. and
just the puppy, then.
Well, no, but his wife died of natural causes. She died of, like, brain... I think she died of brain cancer or something that they showed. But then, you know, it's like this gift shows up after his wife had been dead for a little bit and he already buried her, and then it's a puppy. And he's like, oh, I love the puppy. And then these jerk Russian assholes who want to steal his car kill his puppy. And he's just like, fuck this shit.
You know why?
I'd kill a bunch of
people. All Russians are assholes.
All Russians are assholes right now.
Putin.
That should have been bleeped out, doesn't it? Isn't that racist a little?
I'm sorry, that's my three Russian listeners.
Okay, there you go.
Number three, Neighbors. Great comedy.
Yes, I
was really impressed.
It was on my top five.
I had a lower expectation because I wasn't expecting a lot out of Zac Efron, and he actually impressed me in this movie. So, and Seth Rogen's chemistry with Rose Byrne was great too. So, I really enjoyed this film. It was the best comedy I've seen this year. And I've seen a lot of movies this year and a lot of comedies, and this is definitely.
Neighbors.
That's a horror comedy, though. So, definitely Neighbors as my number three. Number two, X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yay.
Storyline spectacular. Yay. Filming was really well done. It's always nice to see a movie filmed in Montreal and being able to notice the spots that they film in. People complain about the certain plot holes, but you can't complain about shit when there's a time-traveling movie involved. So people who complain about time-traveling paradoxes could just shut the fuck up.
According to Carb.
According to me.
You can tweet him at Killer Carbidium.
And then my number one was Guardians of the Galaxy. It was the new Star Wars for this generation. Everything about that movie worked for me.
Yeah, it did.
So,
apparently I haven't seen that movie.
You haven't seen Guardians?
I haven't.
You would love Guardians.
Really?
I mean,
yes, I'm talking to Charlie.
Just... The chemistry between Groot and Rocket, Chris Pratt did a spectacular job as Star-Lord. Even Batista, as I said and when we reviewed it, Batista as Drax, spectacular. I can't believe Batista did that.
He actually has something good. Like,
so
you can replace his horrible wrestling career with movie career.
I mean, he is Batista now in the WWE.
But my question for you is, when are they coming up with that dancing Groot plant?
It's supposed to be out just before Christmas, from what I understand.
Because somebody made a makeshift dancing plant and put Groot's head on
it.
That's sick.
It looks fucking amazing. I'm like, I would buy that right now.
You can actually buy a cassette right now of Awesome Mix Volume 1 from the movie.
Fucking genius.
The marketing was well done. My nephew fucking loved this movie.
Mike Quackenbush lookalike?
Yeah, my Quackenbush looking nephew. He was like, oh, this
is
so
exactly
great.
He exactly like Quackenbush.
I can't wait for the sequel, and the sequel's 2-3 years away, so, I mean, the kid's already waiting for the next one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was best movie of the year.
It was racy, but not too racy.
Yeah. It was
As edgy as Marvel would go, right?
Yeah, more or less. But, I mean, Chris Pratt, the shape he got in from what he was, like, if you see him in Parks and Recreation, he looks like a fat tub of shit. And then he drops, like, 60 pounds and puts on 20 pounds of additional muscle on top of that. Like he was saying on SNL when he was on it, he's like, oh yeah, I was on this great diet where I was get in shape, you fat ass, or I won't cast you diet. So
that's an official diet. But.
It is. It's the Chris Pratt diet.
Well, I mean, he's going to make a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. You do it for sure.
Great movie. Really looking forward to the sequel. And for sure they're going to incorporate this into the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I can't wait to see the rest of it now, so...
Is Groot going to get more dialogue other than "I am Groot"?
Yeah, no, but that's
all he says.
Is it really?
And he says different iterations. "I am Groot. I am Groot."
How you look at Groot is he's the new Chewbacca, where Chewbacca was just.
Wow. Not bad. I actually thought Chewbacca was here. What the hell? That was pretty good.
All we did was shave carbon.
I was impressed right there.
I mean, it's the exact same thing. Like, Rocket was Han Solo, and Groot was Chewbacca.
Stop chopping
so
the table.
He's not. He's fake chopping. He's not touching it.
I actually hit the table. But, I mean, it was so
Asian
good.
Asian man heard the chop.
It was,
You should scold him, producer guy, you should scold him.
I mean, there's really nothing bad about this movie. It's my number one.
Thank you very much, Carp. Let's throw it to C-Money. Yeah.
So I'm gonna
Are you really far right now? I feel C-Money. Like you're really far from the table.
Would you like me to talk right into the mic like this?
You can. You can come up quick.
Does it matter if he's close or far? Does it matter?
No. Well, I was talking over there.
He plays with the mic levels. Yeah. It's fine.
I'll stop complaining now.
He's gonna do his thing. Let me do.
You're just so far from the
table.
Hold on.
Hey, Charlie, Alpha female, you trying to take over this podcast?
No.
It's my fucking show.
I just want
it's my fucking show.
I feel like C-Money's so far.
C-Money could talk from his house if he wants to.
I tried to leave twice because
as long as Asian man producer can see the levels, we're fine.
That was last week, C-Money.
Yeah,
remember?
Fuck.
Back. Calm down, Charlie.
Calm down, Charlie.
Hey, Charlie.
So I'm going to start this off pretty easy. That fact that... This past year, I had a kid, so most of the opportunities to get out of the theater have been very slim, and most of the movies that I end up seeing are actually, like, freaking cartoon movies.
Little Mermaid.
So there's a couple that I got to escape to, so that's why they're in my top five, not because they're necessarily
like
the best ones, but because I probably saw, like, six movies all summer.
It's the biggest piece of shit. It's the only one you haven't seen.
Well, no, I think there's a couple that were mentioned before that they're not going to be on that list for a reason. I haven't even seen them, and there's a reason why. Out of the gate, Lego Movie.
I saw
Lego Movie. That was one of those ones that has actually been something that I've been talking about with colleagues of mine for a long time, because at the old company I used to work for, we used to have this thing where my buddy would get the Lego video games, all the different franchises, and he would lend them to me just when I was bored. They're crappy games. It's just like button mashing crap, but the cutscenes in them are actually hilarious. And so they had like the Lord of the Rings franchise, Batman franchise. There's got to be like six or seven other iterations, I think, at this point. But they just always made me smile, and it just always made me think back to like my childhood. I think Kev Butrek said that earlier, too. So it's just one of those movies that I knew going into, it was going to be fun. It was going to kind of stem off the video games and what they did. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, going into it is exactly what I expected. It made me laugh throughout the entire movie. The theme song just cracked me up. I think I was singing it like for days after. You know, the Everything is Awesome song that they keep doing.
I think that got in everybody's
head. It was ridiculous. I just couldn't stop thinking about it. But just one of those movies that are classic all around. I don't know, like, you just can't go wrong with the characters that are in there. They literally had that full plethora of different characters. You guys talked about it earlier. But, you know, you saw the Michelangelos. You saw the Batmans and everybody that were in there, the Shaqs and everything. And it just really made a whole different type of approach, because you could just pull jokes from everywhere. It wasn't just like for a specific genre or something like that. This was just pulling from everywhere and gave the writers, I think, a lot to work with.
Yeah.
And it just made for a great comedy. And I know they've already got other ones that are going to come out, and they could probably run with this for a good, you know, five movies at least before it gets.
We're definitely looking at five movies out of that.
That's it.
Really?
That's it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the fact that they have so many properties,
the amount of money the first one made alone, I know that number two is on the way, but I guarantee you they're already writing number three.
Lego Shaq Fu.
I think the coolest part about this is, out of Lego history, the one thing that's really awesome is that there's always been like sets. So the Star Wars set and all these different Batman set. This was based off of that one little guy that you always had that was like the nobody guy, the jobber guy, you know? And they made him the core character.
Barry,
and I always
Horowitz
thought, yeah, exactly.
Lego.
You know, the Michael Carpenter of So.
Who's that?
Yeah. Kindly go fuck yourself, Mr. McCullough.
Carp, why are you mad? I don't understand this. Are you related? So that's my number
fuck
five.
Fuck you.
So this one is kind of goes against most of what I believe in from future podcasts that I've done tied to fucking James Franco. If anyone's ever heard me talk about this guy, they know what I really think of this piece of shit.
Well, and he's gotten more douchey now, the fact that he's like going after 18-year-olds.
It's beyond
Cosby-ish now.
Yeah.
It's getting
That's like, you know what?
How dare you?
I've never seen enough of that kind of
shit. I know, I agree.
I'm offended.
I still like Jell-O. Fuck that. But it's actually Planet of the Apes too. Not many people would actually think that, but I loved the first one. It was just one of those movies that if you've ever seen the original series, it was so... There's so many little points in the movie that you pick up on. Like in the first one where they did something where you see on the TV in the background that the Mars expedition gets lost in space. And that's exactly how the whole series kind of starts off, is that the guy basically lands after being lost in space for X amount of time. And this second movie just kind of expanded on that. The animation is just freaking ridiculous. You know,
was that this year, really?
Yeah, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes came out early this year.
It was pretty early in the year.
But, yeah, it was also a really good movie. I mean, the CGI there, like the mocap suit stuff, wow. It, really well done.
Yeah, that's it. It's just mental. And, you know, it's not, you know, the typical type of movie that maybe everyone want to go see, especially the younger crowds today. They don't know shit about the Planet of the Apes movies. But for, I guess, the older generation, it's just one of those things that it hit home. It reminded me of some of the old school stuff again, kind of like Lego. And I just enjoy it so much. I hate James Franco with a passion. He's a shit actor.
He wasn't in this one, at least, though.
But, so. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's
he
just...
He wasn't?
No.
Well, he had a small cameo part.
Yeah, okay.
It's just that he's related to the first one, and it kind of stems off.
He created the Caesar, like the master of all the apes right now.
One thing I thought they did a really good job of is they gave the apes personality. Like, it wasn't just a bunch of, like, villains. They gave character depth to the apes, as silly as that might sound. Like, it wasn't just to humans having all this depth and, oh, here's just a bunch of apes. They put different personalities into the apes, which I thought was really cool.
You can't do that. You can't. You guys can't interact without the listeners being able to see
nobody
you.
Stop flipping me off, you
if
fuck.
You only
giving
knew what was going on.
Finger and shit while Kev was talking.
Literally
Jesus.
Giving each other
this live podcast has been brought to you by a bunch of naked
the
people at a table.
The Puffcast.
You're a Puffcaster. We'll puff you right in your cast.
Oh, that's not okay.
You don't even know what that means.
You're embarrassed.
I don't think anybody knows what that means.
You have to bring the child into this.
I know.
Yeah, why? Oh, my God.
Women always go to the child.
And I'm the one with the bad mustache who looks like a pedophile, right?
He is.
He is.
Alright, where are we at? Planet of the Apes.
Wait, Kevin's not finished. We cut him off right there.
No, you
were? I wasn't listening.
He already talked enough. I am terrible.
But they just, like, if you remember it from the original series, a lot of the main characters, they actually develop, like, Caesar and a lot of the other ones that you might remember from the main films. They really took it up a notch in the second movie, so I love the fact that you're looking
at me while you're saying that, because I know what the hell you're talking about.
Well,
he's
no,
looking
you were
at anybody.
No, yeah. He's looking at me.
I'm looking around
why
the
are you
room.
So self-conscious?
Maybe because I'm a woman.
Wow.
He kept looking at me. I guess because I'm looking at you back. Nobody else is. I'm paying attention.
But he was looking at me for like 5 minutes. I think he'd be like, looking at me.
You could bear me to an ear.
That's cool. Trying to make conversation here.
So onto the number three.
Okay.
And this is, again, I've got a nostalgic thing going in this trade here. And this is the biggest one from my childhood. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Wow.
Nobody would have expected that, partly because it was one of the few movies I saw all summer. But I was actually super against this movie for the longest time. Like, Michael Bay touching anything literally leads to explosions of fucking garbage. Just flat out, no, not that, again, twisting shit. But.
So wait, I didn't see this movie, and it wasn't mentioned in any top five. Was it because it was really, really, really shit?
It wasn't like a top 10 movie, but...
Why don't you let me give my review, and maybe you'll see.
But wait, you're going to say all that you love it. I want to hear if it's shit.
I've seen over 40 movies this year that came out, and it's definitely not in the bottom 20 in any way. Okay. I mean, it was Michael Bay produced, and that's it was pretty much he just had his name attached. But it was actually pretty good. So he is right to have it for the limited amount of movies that C-Money seen this year. Having it in his top five makes complete sense.
Get C-Money, go.
Bam. Pow, right in your kisser.
Wait.
What are you going point here?
Yeah, that's right. I point.
All right, this is the Charlie podcast. Go ahead.
Hey, Charlie, calm down.
Hey, Charlie. God, Charlie. Calm down, Charlie. So,
hey, around that.
I'll start off by saying Shredder is absolute stupid in the movie. They killed that character. They made him a badass Asian guy, and then in 2 seconds, he's a giant fucking cyborg with like 50 knives and electricity that brings his knives back to him in this garbage. That is the one bad part about the movie. But the turtles themselves are friggin' badass. Like, I grew up in the old days where the Ninja Turtles from the original series were like these really well done costumes, but they were all short, like what you would consider a turtle to be. But what I like that in this rare case for Michael Bay to actually make something bigger than it is they actually made them like these giant warriors that were like really badass looking. Like at first I was kind of worried because again, 80s kid, I knew all the stuff about the Turtles, huge collector of all the
CGI.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot to go wrong there. But actually, if you think about the original movies, how good these guys were at martial arts in these very heavy suits, like back in those days, the suits that these guys wore, they literally dropped like 15, 20 pounds a day in those suits.
The fighting did hold up.
Yeah, it was like beyond bad. And the fighting held up. It was quite well done. And now with the CGI, it kind of still held up for the most part, except for the Shredder stuff.
Is it all CGI? No.
No, well, the turtles are CGI. Okay. But what I also liked in this Ninja Turtles, what he was talking about, is each turtle had more individuality to themselves.
Yes.
Whereas I think it was Raphael had like a cracked shell and he had like tape on him, or Donatello was more of like a steampunk style guy, and Leonardo had a samurai outfit. Like, that was really impressive for
instead of just eating pizza and radical.
Yeah, they had those I guess key phrases and things that they still brought back in the movie, but the actual, like, I still found it fun. Like, I got when, like, Michelangelo was making his jokes and hitting on April O'Neil. I loved that. I love that it brought me back to, you know. Yeah, like, it was just that stuff, and it just fit really well.
But not the creepy way. I mean, we're just going to find it.
Yeah, exactly. It worked really well. It brought me back, and again, there's a lot of things that they could fix on it, but at the same time, it was a fun film for me. And I think that they left it very well open for our next film, and I think this is one of the few that Michael Bay has done, unlike Transformers 4. That
I've been Megan Fox. Did she hold up?
I never really think she's
okay. She's
She wasn't terrible. She's there
for
like
a reason. And, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But as April O'Neil, she was okay.
I found her better in this role than she was in any of the Transformer movies. Yeah. Let's just put it that way. Like, just it made more sense that she was more the helpless reporter versus the chick that learns to fight in giant robots and stuff. Like, I don't know. It might sound trivial,
but
she
didn't do anything in the Transformers movies. She was still hopeless.
For the most part, but I don't know.
She was tits and ass. That's what she was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What's that? She was an insult to women.
She ran in slow motion, so that's pretty big.
She was an insult to women.
She was also on a trampoline for a little bit, so that probably also helped.
Continue. Number two. X-Men.
Suddenly turned into Sesame Street.
Yes.
Yeah.
Charlie.
Hi, Charlie.
Calm down, Charlie.
So number two, X-Men, Days of Future Past. For anybody who's ever read the comics in the original days, anything where they do time travel, they actually did it really well in the comic books. There's a lot of core characters that I think they could have brought into the movie, or at least made more mention of them. Guys like Cable and Bishop, who are actually really tied to doing time travel and stuff like that. But I think this movie really, it's what everyone kind of said, but it really brings back the destruction that was done in the third movie, how bad it was. It just really fixes a lot of issues. The Sentinels, I was really worried about as well, because I'm used to like the, I guess it was the 90s cartoons that we were used to, and where, you know, Beast would take Wolverine or Colossus would take Wolverine and chuck him at a Sentinel.
Fastball special.
Fastball special, exactly. You know it. So, you know, you were expecting that scene where he gets chucked at it, and they actually pulled it off in the movie. And people marked out for that kind of stuff.
And when we went to see it, myself, Duke, and BB, at the end when there was a little, it had already been mentioned where they bring back Cyclops and all them, One guy yelled out directly at the screen, "Fuck you, X-Men 3.
Okay.
It makes sense, though. It was just that kind of thing. Like, everyone that I know has watched X-Men 3 just predominantly hated the movie because of what they did. They just killed the franchise. So I think you didn't need to have as much individual characters like Wolverine, but I also get that, you know, Hugh Jackman's a star. They want to bring him up as one of the key players in the movie. Everyone loves Wolverine, so you want to see as much of him as possible. But I do like the fact that they had that past and present where they can bring in different mutants from different eras. So that kind of expanded on their, I guess, their casting, like Mystique, for that matter. Like, it didn't have to be the same person over and over again. Awesome movie. Definitely my top two. The first one is probably going to be more of a surprise, but I'm actually pretty big fan of, you know, war movies. And so my number one actually ends up being Fury.
Wow.
And, you know, it's one of those types of guys, like, if you look at someone like Leonardo DiCaprio, you don't want to like that guy. But then he makes certain movies, like Wolf of Wall Street, where you learn to love him. Brad Pitt's another one of those guys. Though. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So then Brad Pitt's another one of those guys. He started off like, you know, Legends of the Fall type movie. I think right. That was him. You know, and now all these other great films and Glorious Bastards and all these. He plays this just kick-ass general type of guy. Someone that you just want to, you know, you just want to follow and you listen to every little bit. And sometimes people make fun of how his acting is and he's got these, you know, shitty accents that he does. But I find they actually accentuate the movie and make it better, make it more believable for that time. It was beautifully shot. A lot of great, great scenes in the movie. And, if you liked any of those types of movies like Saving Private Ryan or anything like that, it fit really well. And it was one of the few movies that were one of those hardcore movies that I could actually watch that didn't involve babies and
crap like hardcore babies. The tank battle scenes when it's like the German Panzer, which is almost indestructible, and it took three American tanks to take out that one tank.
Exactly,
yeah, it was like the Zeus of tanks.
It was no, but I mean that's what World War II was like. Is they're trying to portray what they know on film, and he's right. I mean, it was such a well done World War II movie that we haven't seen anything like that in a while. Yeah. Except for Inglourious Basterds, and that was more of a spaghetti western than...
Yeah.
What do you think of that scene with Brad Pitt when he was with the two girls in that? Did that make you feel uncomfortable at all watching it?
I think, it's funny that you mentioned that because the people that were sitting, the people that were sitting right behind me, you actually heard the wife whisper to her husband, like, is he going to rape them? That's what your thought process is at that point. But I guess you kind of understand his character pretty early on. So you kind of, it's that kind of thing that throws you off in the movie. You get worried like, oh my God, is this where this movie's going? Is it going to get that hardcore?
Yeah.
But, you know, the way that then the next full scene is actually where they're all eating at the table. And you see kind of, you know, the way certain guys have been together for so long in that brotherhood. And they had expectations like, why would this guy not bring us to the table when he's got these women cooking him a good meal and they're out there eating garbage and fucking...
Yeah, you know. He brings in the new guy to hang out with him and the wife and that, and then he just says fuck you to everybody else.
Exactly, and the new kid gets, you know, goes to, you know, fuck the girl and everything, and then...
Old school, someone's leaving your podcast.
Oh, that's okay.
See, you could say bye now.
I was waving.
I know. Yeah, well, you're
trying not to interrupt you.
Doesn't matter.
Charlie, you're just
bye.
My ball full of.
No, I feel bad when somebody leaves without anybody saying anything. So bye. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Later, guys.
See, bye, now Dre. It's okay. Now you can continue. Dre. Sorry. Go.
Yeah. Pardon the interruption.
I feel bad when somebody leaves without anybody noticing.
We all saw him. Don't worry.
Doesn't matter. You guys were ignoring.
I think that Carp brought up that other scene that I really loved about the movie was it actually, like, I found myself kind of getting, you know, like, kind of perspiring, thinking about that scene where there's one tank. Everyone knows in World War II that the Americans were severely, like, outnumbered when it came to the tanks and the quality of their tanks versus the Panzer, like, the German Panzer tanks. And then it comes down to this point where they're literally, like, just trying to load that last...
My goodness! Your baby mama
just
loves
it. It just puts you on point. You get so nervous and worried. But you know, they're loading that last shell that they're hopefully is going to put that tank out before they get blown away. And it's just this really crazy point in the movie where you're actually really caught up in it, and it's really intense. So just an overall good movie. You knew what the ending was going to be. You knew these guys weren't going to survive, well, for the most part.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
I was talking about the Germans.
I didn't know.
But yeah, so that one actually hit the top of my list just for its creativity.
I got a special pizza for you. It's a Quebec pizza. I'm going to play one more time.
I got the German pizza for you. Beer and sauerkraut.
Because I clearly have nothing to say.
To show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
With the ketchup.
He's good.
He's good. All right, let's get into the Red Book predictions for 2014-2015.
Really? Aren't you pointing at me?
Don't you have a top five?
No, I absolutely have no top five. You see, I didn't even see five movies this year, so every movie I've seen was with you guys. Okay.
Charlie, what was your number one film this year?
Gone Girl.
No, I hated Gone Girl. So awful. I'm pretty sure if you guys could probably tell me what I saw this year.
You saw The Judge? With you guys.
The Judge, which was... Okay.
She only came to Gone Girl with us.
No, there was one with me, you, Scruff, Charlie.
That, Cap 2.
Was it Cap 2?
It was Cap 2 or Iron Man 3 where you spilled all your popcorn.
I saw Iron Man 3. I really liked it, but only because I like Iron Man.
So I don't think
I saw. I did. I did see Captain America. It was okay, but it was a boy movie. Somebody's pointing at you. I don't have any top five movies. I'm just here because I happen to live next door.
As the peanut guy.
So I guess what's coming up?
Yeah, yeah. Can I? Is it okay if I introduce?
No. I'm taking over, motherfucker.
My podcast now, bitch.
Mutiny, fuck. All right, get into the Red Book predictions for 2014. Yeah. Highest grossing movie. Let's go. Who's calling it?
Avengers Age of Ultron. Hands down. Ain't no fucking question about it.
Better than Star Wars?
Without question.
I don't know about better than Star Wars, but...
I would say.
Oh yeah, Star Wars is technically coming out.
Yes.
I
say.
Avengers
will beat Star Wars.
Yeah. Avengers will beat Star Wars Episode 7.
It's a younger generation.
Because people are so still disappointed from Episodes 1, 2, and 3, Marvel's going to get the money.
All right. Throw me a domestic number.
But they're still going to go see it.
Avengers?
I want this domestic number for Avengers.
So for how long? 600.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So
you said over 6, though. Yeah. Give me a definitive number.
608.3.
608.3. How much is Avengers making?
608.4.
For a domestic run of how long?
This entire run.
Oh, a billion.
No, it's not making
domestic. Are you fucking retarded?
Domestic the entire
run? Didn't Titanic
run?
Not even make 6?
No. Titanic made just over 6.
Yeah,
there's no way.
Okay, million,
no,
I thought.
Okay, so I'm going to go slightly above Kevbo. I'm going to say
6.5.
618.3.
I say.
I have no idea what you guys are saying, but I'm going to say 850. Okay. I want to be off.
All right, 550 million. Suck it. Will, how much is Avengers making?
$1.
The next series?
Just the domestic run.
Yeah.
Age of Ultron.
400 million?
That's pretty low.
That's low.
I mean, still.
I'm going to win.
It's not the Price is Right.
He said $1.
No, that was...
All right, so let's talk about movies we're excited for.
We have a list?
Well, I mean, there's a good list, but...
I mean, yeah, Star Wars.
I'm going to say starting off in January this year, we got Taken 3. Or,
oh God,
My Reputation Gets Taken.
How about Minions?
Minions isn't until later.
I think they just the Gru movies and everything like that. They've made big every single time.
I think
they can get Ted too.
I think February is looking pretty nice. You got Jupiter Ascending, Seventh Son, and for the ladies with cats out there, 50 Shades of Grey.
I don't even want to see that.
Ant-Man.
Kelly.
Is Ant-Man going to hold up?
I think Ant-Man will be all right, but it won't make any spectacular. It's going to definitely make its money back in the end.
I think Ant-Man is going to absolutely shit the bed.
160-ish, 165.
You want to do a side bet?
Well,
I think Ant-Man makes 130.
So if it makes $1 over 130, I win?
I see, 130 and under, and you say higher than 130. Domestic.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm calling it now.
They're not shaking. It's live. They're not shaking hands.
No.
$10?
That's a 140.
What?
140.
$10
we didn't shake.
You gotta start writing everything.
Hold on. Let's say
it's recording.
It's 1:30.
No, I didn't say yes.
Well, hurry.
Yeah, come on.
I'd say one. Okay, makes under 1:40.
Shake hands. I refuse.
1:40.
I'm walking over.
1:35.
1:35.
$10. How much do you guys think Furious 7 is going to make opening weekend?
$1.
Because that's coming out April 3rd.
$99 million.
No, it's going to make 110.
Opening weekend.
I can see it making 110.
You want to bet?
Oh no, I'm not betting on that.
For some reason, people like these. Yeah,
I'd rather bet on Paul Blart 2.
It could even make
Paul Blart 2. That, I'm still pissed off the fact that Seth Rogen's mall cop movie did not do as well.
Well, because it came out second.
But that's the only reason, because it was actually really good.
Yeah, it's a far superior movie.
Observer Report, yeah.
Yeah.
Producer guys talking.
But so what I'm wondering though is, what do you guys think of the upcoming Mad Max kind of reboot with Tom Hardy, Charlize Theron, Nicholas Hoult? I mean, this cast looks great. The trailer looks really good. So I mean, I'm in for it. I don't know about you guys.
I found it had the look of the old movie, like that dystopian future. I thought they did a good job of. Doing it like the old what?
I mean,
I saw Resident Evil 6.
Oh yes,
it's been postponed because Mila Jovovich is pregnant.
It's a piece of
the
shit.
Duck
but
is coming out.
We also have Jurassic World coming up.
Yeah,
this
that
year.
I'm really looking forward.
Now that is going to make some good bank. I think it might have been too long, but I think it's still going to make some really good money.
I think it'll be a really good movie, and if the special effects are.
Hey, Charlie, what about Magic Mike Double XL?
She's not in the voice.
Hey, calm down.
Hey, calm down, Charlie. Mission Impossible 5, Tom Cruise.
He's doing his own stunts.
But isn't it tail end? Isn't it almost December?
I'm a fan. I don't care.
The last
Fuck
one
you.
Was
I'll
pretty good.
Fan. I'll be a fan.
Ghost Protocol? Ghost Protocol was really good.
That was a good movie, man. It went off good.
What else is coming?
Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, definitely Jupiter Ascending.
Last year you were like, I want to see it. Now it's going to be this year. I want to see it.
Poltergeist, again?
It's the remake, I believe.
Bang, doesn't matter.
They've all been a remake.
Yeah, they
all suck. Well, no, Poltergeist 1, 2, and 3 were all sequels.
No, but I'm saying since the...
don't mess with Texas.
Say what?
Can you stop reading it?
I know, but I'm trying to I'm trying to figure out if I even know any of these movies.
Yeah, but
given
you don't have to talk when you read.
Do you guys think Bond 24 will actually make it this year, or will
Ratchet
it be next year?
Ratchet & Clank, the movie.
Ratchet and Clank would be awesome.
Depends what it is, though. Like, is it?
It's based on the game.
I know,
no, but like the style that it's done in.
It's CGI.
It's going to be CGI. I know,
you can't have live action,
but it keeps the style of the games. Yeah.
But the whole thing is CGI, right?
Yeah.
I know in C Money's wheelhouse for sure is going to be Kung Fu Panda 3 in late December.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's no question about that for C Money.
We're going to go see it together.
They're hysterical movies, absolutely. They're just like.
What about the live action Gem and the Holograms?
Oh god!
Definitely first weekend.
Kelly is going there first day.
Truly outrageous. Truly true.
Do you know the music to that?
You have to watch it. It's part of the lineup.
I mean,
it's either that or you not watch TV. There was two channels.
Yeah.
No, there was four channels.
Gem is my name.
I usually watch manly cartoons.
Like what?
Like Police Academy.
Actually, Police Academy.
Yeah, Police Academy is awesome.
No, it wasn't manly.
Transformers. Aren't we also supposed to get the
fighting crime in our future time?
Long shot. Nightshade.
Berserker.
Bowser in Blue. Bowser in Blue is an old
What about the next Dwayne Johnson movie coming out?
Yeah, garbage.
San Andreas.
Does he play Dwayne?
Well, no, but it's apparently like after an earthquake, it's supposed to be GTA style, where Dwayne Johnson's going to be one of the characters.
Can you smell what? It'll make $6.
We got a. I know Will's looking forward to it, and so am I. London Has Fallen.
Will is sleeping.
Will's asleep? Oh, sorry. Gallifrey's asleep, too. Everybody's asleep.
To be fair, they had a long plane ride.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean...
Oh, I thought they said ketchup.
2015 is looking pretty sweet from what I can see, so...
2016 is the...
2016 will
year.
Be, the year.
Fearful. That's pretty much it, eh? I don't see anything else.
You have to learn, no, I guess...
There's so many movies coming out, it's impossible to tell
The Maze Runner sequel, which will make money.
All those young adults.
New live action Jungle Book directed by Jon Favreau. That has
Are they using a real bear? Like, what do you mean live action? Is a real bear? The bear talking shit?
The actor, dude, they did.
Done like 101 Dalmatians with tons of dogs.
Yeah, but the bear has a speaking role. How does that work?
They've done a live action Jungle Book before.
That's not live action.
Air Bud. We all know in Quebec, Toby.
Yeah, I know, but the dog doesn't talk.
They did a live action Jungle Book a very long time ago, back in the 80s.
Oh, tailspin. Friends of the Tailspin. So, if they can dress a lawyer in a bear suit, a bear in a lawyer suit, figure that out.
If they can, a bear in a lawyer suit, then blah, blah, blah.
That's exactly what I heard.
Made sense to me. All right, let's close the show. Plug's final thoughts. We'll give it to Charlie. Hey, Charlie.
I have none.
You're not even going to promote your own podcast?
You have a podcast.
You can listen to my show. Yay! My own podcast. All inside. Where three girls just drink and talk about real life events. And see, I knew this was going to happen.
Talking about penis.
Talk
of penis.
I can really collaborate in this shit. Let me talk.
And wine is fine. Stick your wine.
That is not what my theme sounds like.
It's totally about it.
I didn't collaborate in this show, really, so I don't feel like I should plug my own show. So
why not?
Carp?
Well, I don't have my own show, but I will be on
looking for new members.
I will be on an upcoming episode of NFL Easy Picks where a Canadian will beat the Americans at their favorite sport.
You're in fourth place.
I am, but I'm only 3 points behind.
Here's the thing. You've been in fourth place the entire year, and you keep saying how you're going to surpass them, but yet you're still in fourth place.
I just need one good week.
He's hopeful.
As per usual, StableWars.com. We might be looking for new members. Always new games starting up, although we don't know when our next season of TNA is going to start since it's going to another network. But we may very well, as per the Spanish announce table, try and start America Fuck Yeah Championship Wrestling Stable Wars.
That's awesome. Thank you very much, Carp. C-Money, you got anything to plug or final thoughts? Or
plug James Franco right in his fucking face.
That's probably the best plug ever on this show.
I mean, we're coming up early, but do you guys want to see the interview with Rogan and Franco?
Yes.
Yes.
What?
That actually looks hysterical.
Oh, just hunk out.
It looks hilarious.
I have standards, my friend.
You have no standards whatsoever.
I appreciate
you. Had like a movie with boys in it. Like, yeah. That was your number two, is a movie about boys.
Yeah.
Right.
He's like, I want to see Boyhood.
You sounded so creepy.
Goes with the mustache. All right, thank you very much, Carp. Our producer, Phil, what do you want to plug?
Comic books for the win.
Comic books, comicbookfdw.com. It's been on a hiatus for a bit, but new videos are coming out soon. Awesome. More cosplay, more interviews, stuff we shot at Comic-Con. Should be good.
All right.
He did not expect you to ask him a question.
We need more hot cosplay chicks.
There will be more cosplay chicks.
We need the one who was Hellboy on that show.
You know what I find the hottest? Chicks. The hottest one was the...
Yes, tell us.
The blonde, cool. The blonde wig. I find she's the hottest.
Yeah, that narrows it down to about a billion cosplay chicks.
Well, Jessica Negri's up there, but the other one.
She's not hot.
Yeah, she is.
No, she's
tomboyish. I like that.
She's way overrated.
Yeah. You have no taste.
Old school likes them the more manly they are. That's hilarious.
I don't like where this show is going. All right, on that note, we're going to close the show. Thank you very much for listening. Part two of the end of review. This is old school for Gallifrey. Not Gallifrey. Charlie. Our producer, Phil, Carp, C-Money, and Kebo Trek. This is old school.
Latest.
Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much.
Skidoosh.
For listening.
Skin de douche.
Skidoosh.
Skin my douche. All right, so this is going to continuation. This is going to be a continuation of episode 100th live episode. Fortunately, we could not get Heavy set in studio, or because I don't think he has a passport yet, or we couldn't get him online due to technical issues, unfortunately. But we have to make sure we keep that streak alive. So Heavy set. Well, we got you on the line. Let's get your top five for 2014.
Let's also mention, probably to get to where you are in Canada, I would probably have to gone through Buffalo, and that was Mission Impossible this past weekend.
That's a good point as well. Yeah, I think they're getting a bunch of snow and flooding now. 6 feet of snow or something? Like, wow.
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills had to move their home game to Detroit.
Oh, Jesus. Imagine.
Yeah, so... Okay, my top five of the year. I'm going to start off with my honorable mention. I have one honorable mention, and I've reviewed most. I think I obviously reviewed all these, but the honorable mention that I want to put in my top five, I will get shit on by so many people, and that is actually Fault in Our Stars. It's one of the books that I listened to, and yes, it's a chick flick. Yes, it has all those kind of things, and it's going to probably make you feel something afterwards. But it's not necessarily what you would expect, though. And that's one thing I like about it, how it was as a book.
It's such a fucking sad movie, though, man. It's ridiculous.
Did you finally see it?
It just drains you. I've heard it drains you.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those that I got to – since I went through the book first, like, I knew what to expect. So, yeah, it was a little bit different for me. But I loved how this transitioned well from a book to a movie. You have stuff you got to cut, but I felt like it was very little, and some of the stuff that even I picked up, I'm like, well, they left this out. I was like, well, it wasn't really that much needed, or, you know, it didn't really cut that much. They still kept a lot of the bulk. There was a lot of the same lines that I do. I love it when there's like a rememberable line in the book, and then it appears exactly like how it was in the book on screen. So that's one reason why it's my honorable mention. But to get into my top five, my fave five, dog, right here, right now. Struck it, duck it, quack, quack.
Right there, right here, right now. We coming for you.
I'm going to start off, and actually I have – this is my only kid movie on the list. That's Lego Movie. I think for what it did, and the time of the year it came out in February, and pretty much blew Frozen out of the water for that time of the year. And Frozen's still doing strong, but so is Lego Movie. And I think it went to show you how well popular the Legos have become in pop culture within the past couple decades, but just in the past couple years. It actually had funny parts. They put a lot of great Legos in, a lot of great cameos, whether it be the people doing the voices like Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum. Like, those were part, like, they didn't do them, but there was also like some great cameos from other actors playing their voice, Lego voices. So I thought that was really cool. And
yeah, that's the thing. We did mention it on the show. It did. I think it was on Kev's top five as well. And it's because they have the rights to the Lego versions of all these franchises. It's really the only time you're going to see like Shaq and Batman. You know what I mean? Just mm-hmm. like all these weird mixes. But it's
Abraham Lincoln.
Just as a fanboy, it's so awesome to see.
I want to go back and rewatch it. That, not to mention, they had a very catchy song from this movie.
Everything is awesome.
Exactly. And
you know they're Canadian, eh, Tegan and Sarah?
Everything is awesome, eh?
Yeah. Everything is double-double Tim Hortons.
Everything is Timbits.
A boot.
All right. My number four is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes. Very popular choice as well.
It was really hard to tell like how good this movie was going to be with like how the other Marvel movies are doing. And I think that's one thing that's a lot of these Avenger movies. It's like we've been watching as they come up and going, okay, you know, will this be good? Will this fall flat? And I think this just went far and above and beyond anything up there in Avengers level. And the fact, I mean, their soundtrack, it just recently was free on Google and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's got a lot to hand to them on this, just not even just the movie. And I felt like it stood well as its own as a movie and everything for – like there was no reason why this shouldn't have been in my top five.
Agreed. Fantastic movie. Bit gritty as well for the Marvel Universe. That's what really intrigued me watching the previews is you get this raccoon is just shooting everything up. Chris Pratt's got an attitude. You got the tree. It's just fun. You know what I mean? And it puts a little bit of an edge to that kind of Captain America, super nice guy, helps everybody. These guys are a bunch of pricks, you know what I mean? So that's what I liked about it, the contrast. That's what led me to see the movie. But as well, the soundtrack was fantastic. The characters had great chemistry, and the story was great. So for me, yeah. And you're going to be listening to the show, I guess, as it gets released, but it's on multiple top fives. Fantastic movie.
And then moving on, 22 Jump Street is my number three. I think this...
I like the fact that you added this.
Because I think this did really, really well as a sequel. I don't think it was better than the first one, but I think it lived up to the level. They still had very memorable parts. For example, when you find out that Jonah Hill's character fucked Ice Cube's daughter. And yes. The moment that, to me, that it's funny is it's that moment that Channing Tatum's character finally... like puts two and two together, and they pointed out that he's like having trouble with it, and then there's like a ding or something when he gets it, and then he just like, oh my god, he just starts going around the office and just like some of those parts. I think also they made fun of, 23 Jump Street, 24 Jump Street. They did like all these like Jump Streets in the closing credits, and then there was the part in the movie where they said, like, you know, we're just going to be like right over there next year at 23 Jump Street. So,
yeah, I'm a huge fan of the fourth wall breaks in film too. It's great.
I think for me, of all the movies I've seen when it comes to comedies, this is at the top of my list. But granted, there's a handful that from this year that I hadn't seen yet, or is coming out that I haven't seen. So it's really hard to delegate.
All right, let's get your number three.
No, my number two.
Number two. Counting is difficult.
Number two, and it's just biased to me, is Draft Day. I have to pick my hometown team getting
the only time Cleveland's ever done good in anything.
No, because
this is a fictional movie.
No, because, well, technically Major League, but two.
Oh yeah, good point.
The Browns have been doing really great this year, and it's just like when they drafted Johnny Manziel in the draft, it was like, oh my god, this is just like the movie. So.
Do you think it's like a good luck charm for them?
I almost think it. I think it was. I mean, granted, right now they're in the mix for the playoffs right now, which is very rare for the Browns. And
is that the first time like in 50 years or whatever?
No. They were in the mix for the playoffs in 2007. They didn't make it, and I think they actually were in the playoffs but lost first round 2002. So.
Oh geez. Okay.
But. It's just that part of me, just being a Browns fan, seeing this go down. They put it out right before the draft, too, about a month before it. So this had to reach top five of my list. And my
add your number one drum roll.
Gone Girl.
Ah, fuck you. Really?
Yes.
What a fucking... here's the thing. I hate women because of this movie now. And it has no... It's not women's fault at all, but if women are going to be like that... psychotic B word? Like, are you fucking serious? That's one of the worst endings I've ever seen this year. It was so fucking disappointing to see. Because I was... Spoiler alert. Hold on, let me cue that here. Let me cue our big spoiler alert sound effect.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, okay. We're going to spoil the shit out of this movie. I wanted a murder whodunit. And no, I didn't see the book. And blah, blah, blah. I don't get fuck the book. I don't care if it's close to the book. Fuck the book.
But
I wanted a murder whodunit. That's what was sold to me. And the ending, Piper, if you're going to be watching this movie, I suggest hanging up right now. Because I'm going to spoil this.
But you got to realize with me, I spent close to 20 hours listening to this book.
This piece of shit.
I started it on a Friday and I finished it on a Sunday.
You know what the equivalent of that would be? Sorry to cut you off. It's like you get that giant somebody gives you a 2.4 of some fucking shit beer. Some piss beer. I don't know what equivalent to your – we got Moosehead here or whatever, fucking some shit beer. Okay?
Milwaukee's Beast.
Okay, I give you a 2.4.
Milwaukee's best, but we call it Beast.
I come over to your house, right? We're watching a game. I bring a 2.4 Milwaukee's best and drink one. So you've got to finish the other 23. And they're fucking – they taste like piss, but you know what? The rule is you got to finish the beer. Ugh. So that's – you're invested into this Milwaukee's best of a movie. And then you've listened to this 19-hour book, so you want to watch the movie. The ending was atrocious. It was disappointing. I want my money back. And if that's how women are, I'm going gay. Fuck it.
Well, it's from the point of view of like a lot of the stuff that I like, the fact that they brought one part of the book in the movie that was briefly mentioned and tied it in at the end is one reason why I liked it. But the main fact is I spent so much time being wrapped up into this, and to see it on the big screen as well as it was, minus some of the things that I know they cut, some of the characters I know they cut. They cut a lot out from this. But granted, 19-hour audiobook, I don't know how many page book it is, but yeah, you're going to have to cut it down to a 2.5-hour movie at the moment. I don't know how long it was, but still.
Okay, yeah. Like, I get what you're saying. It relates to the book. But the story in the book, the ending is fucking terrible. How is this any kind of definitive? There's no she's a crazy bitch and he's got to live with her and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
How is that a fucking ending? And how is this making $300 million? I felt cheated, man.
And you got to realize, don't even look at just how much it's made for the movie. Look how much it's made for the book. Granted, there's going to be up sales because of the movie, but this was did well before that.
Why? It was terrible. It's not a fucking whodunit. But
they made it. You think it was that, but it wasn't a whodunit.
Exactly. It's a cock tease.
I went into it, but I mean, granted, even just listening to the book, I'm like, there was no way in hell that he murdered her. They would have covered that. This is his point of view. He got framed. How is it a frame? What exactly happened? Why is everything pointing towards him? And when they go into the second part of the book, after he finds that the final clue and he opens up the door, and I had the mark out moment when they go to her part and like basically her saying in so many words, like, yeah, I framed him. I'm alive. And I'm just like, oh, shit. Oh, my God. Oh, this is awesome.
See, that's when you end the movie, though. If you do that, end the movie there. Don't make it drag on for 30 minutes about how she's a crazy chick. You know what I mean? This is how you end it. And this is how I would end it. At that point, if I've got to live with her and she's framing, she's done this, and she's pregnant with my kid, you got to throw her over the balcony. You got to say, fuck it, the kid's collateral damage. Just throw her over the balcony, shoot that Nancy Grace lookalike freak show, and then shoot yourself. Credits. That's how you end the movie. Fuck it. At that point, you say, fuck it. If I have to spend another 30 years with that psychotic chick that tried to frame me, she's going over the balcony, tough shit for the kid, and fucking Nancy Grace is going down too. That's how you end it.
Well, that's my top five list, and I loved Gone Girl.
Well, and I respect your opinion, but I can't believe this movie has gotten so much acclaim as it has, because it's to me, it's one of the worst movies of the year. I was so disappointed. It was the cock tease of 20. Wow, that's tough. No, it's
okay.
Tusk was just Tusk was vomit-tastic.
Yeah,
Tusk was so bad. Yeah, it's okay. It's better than Tusk.
Okay,
I'll give it that.
All right,
it's my 99th out of the 100 movies I've seen this year.
All right.
So thank you very much, Heavy Set. Let's get your plugs, final thoughts, and then we will end episode 100.
The normal, you can find everything for me right now on ohioindiereport.podbean.com. Big announcement coming later on this month. We'll finally figure out when we're going to fully announce it, but there's some big things coming. I'm looking forward to it.
Just what is a trending topic?
A trending topic is a word or phrase that is tagged at a greater rate than other tags.
This is a trending topic.
Hashtag tunes.
Stop growing up and grow down with Jack and Brian as they rejoin the Trending Topics Network.
Hashtag tweet the table.
Get ready to have your face slammed through a table of wrestling knowledge as Captain Awesome and T-Mac bring you the Spanish Announce Table.
Hashtag Weekend Box Office.
Join Mr. Old School and his panel of critics as they are your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news.
Hashtag Mobile Technology.
Take a bite out of the mobile space on trending mobile technology as Piper the DJ breaks down iOS, Microsoft, BlackBerry, and many things in between. This is the brand new Trending Topics Network.
Better check in every day.
Because you never know what's going to be trending next.